Chapter 12.
15 minutes later, they had landed their ship in the courtyard, in full view of the tower and the guards stationed there. Ventress snapped down the shoulder harness on the containment chairs, while Vram and Lolly yelped in protest.
"Wow," Voss said unhappily. "You sure they're gonna be okay in there?"
Ventress looked at him confused.
"What? These restraining chairs lock down the baddest villains in the galaxy. I think they can hold a couple of kids."
"That wasn't what I meant, but all right."
"Voss,"
Lolly whimpered, reaching out a small three-fingered hand.
"Sorry, kid. It's her ship."
He gave them a shrug and lifted his arms in a what-can-you-do gesture.
"Hang tight, and we'll be back with your mother before you know it."
He patted Lolly on the head and grinned at Vram. He turned to face Ventress, and his smile faded. She stood with her arms folded in front of her, a defensive gesture, and he wished he knew what she was thinking.
"Just so we're clear," she said, "I'll keep them occupied while you find the mother."
She reached for the door controls. Unable to help himself, Voss called out softly,
"Hey."
She turned.
"What?"
Her voice wasn't chilly, but neither was it warm or inviting. What had he been going to say? He wasn't sure. And now, beneath her scrutiny, he couldn't think of anything. Finally, he said,
"Try not to get yourself killed."
Ventress smirked, as he had known she would. But just before she opened the door and descended the ramp, Voss thought her expression melted for a moment into a genuine smile.
He took a deep breath. "Get your head in the game," he told himself,
and waited until the guard's attention was fully on Ventress before he slipped quietly down the ramp himself. Zaitan Moj was not happy. He had not been happy when Marg Krim had unexpectedly rejected the very lucrative offer of combining the Pike Syndicate with Black Sun. Zaitan was even unhappier that he was therefore compelled to kidnap Krim's entire family. And he was extremely unhappy indeed to have learned that a scant 20 minutes earlier, two of his three hostages had been rescued. Zaitan looked up at Kurg Utal as the aide approached, knowing immediately that Utal was about to make Zaitan the unhappiest yet.
"Master Zaitan!"
Utal said, and he came perilously close to wringing his hands.
"We have been unable to find the renegades who took the children."
Zaitan sighed.
"Pity. Marg Krim knew what the penalty would be if he attempted the rescue. Prepare to execute his wife."
"Yes, my mas-"
Utal began, but he was interrupted by the sight of his guards marching up, escorting a female with short, silver-blonde hair.
"My lord," the head guard said, "an envoy from the Pikes is here to negotiate the release of the hostages."
Utal and Zaitan exchanged glances, and Zaitan turned to examine the newcomer. Her timing was remarkably coincidental, and Zaitan was not one to believe in coincidences. She was clearly not a Pike, and in fact did not even look like she was anything as impressively named as an envoy. Her leather clothing was well-worn, and she had the air of a warrior rather than an unctuous diplomat.
"Interesting,"
he mused, settling back in his chair with an inviting smile.
"I'd very much like to hear what you have to offer."
"Sorry," the envoy said. "First things first, I want to see the children and the wife to make sure they're still..."
She made a show of searching for the right word.
"Breathing."
"One thing at a time. I can show you the wife, but the children will have to wait."
He beckoned for Kurg to lean in and whispered,
"Go forward with our plan, but bring the wife here. I will send this envoy, if such she truly is, with Tezka Krim's head and an eyewitness account of me severing it from her body myself."
"And if she is not truly an envoy?"
"No matter. Tezka must die regardless, and the stranger will soon follow her."
Kurg smiled thinly, his eyes twinkling with admiration for his master. and bowed. As he left the room, he gave the envoy a scornful glance. She met him stare for stare. Zaitan smiled again at his visitor.
Tell me,
he mused, stroking his beard.
Do you think I am a fool?
Her blue eyes narrowed.
Why particularly do you ask?
I know you took the children.
She looked convincingly surprised and angry.
What? Are you saying you don't have them?
He growled, softly, deep in his throat. The guards, standing beside the envoy, tensed slightly. They knew the signs of their master's encroaching anger.
How long are we going to play this game?
She was unmoved.
Do you really think I'd be here right now if I had taken them? You clearly don't know how good I am at my job.
He had opened his mouth to retort when the door to the cell slid open. Tezca Krim stood in the doorway, her blue eyes wide and darting about. Zaitan smiled. This was going to be a pleasure.
Well, there she is.
And here I am,
came a voice. A human male, dark of skin and hair, and sporting a strange yellow tattoo across his face, stepped in front of the pike, grinning broadly. Surprise caused Zaitan to hesitate for a fraction of a second, but then he dived for his weapon. Before he could fire it, the stranger with the yellow tattoo shot it out of his hand. The blonde woman had already dispatched one of the burly Fallen guards and was now snapping the other's arm with frightening casualness. Blaster bolts sang as the dark human, dodging attacks with lithe grace, shot the blasters from the hands of the guards. Zaitan stared, aghast, as the intruder almost cheerfully made a show of whirling his own blasters around his fingers before holstering them, then charged the nearest guard. So intent on yellow tattoo was Zaitan that he failed to notice the envoy until she was but a meter away. With an angry bellow, he exploded from his chair and met her head on. He took a swing at her, but struck only air. Then he was stumbling backward, his head swimming and his jaw aching from a well-placed kick. One foot struck the base of his throne, and he collapsed into it. In the moment the woman took to whirl around and smash in the face of a guard who was getting too close, Zaitan was up again and charging her. He was well-versed in a variety of martial arts and expert in mixing styles up in such a way that his enemy could not anticipate what he might do next. This one somehow did. Almost as if the fight had been choreographed, she blocked his every blow. From the strike of the Nexu to the kick of the Bantha, with almost disinterested ease. The sounds of thuds and groans from his guards told him that her compatriot was easily handling three, probably four attackers at once. Who were these people? As if she had tired of playing with him, the envoy ceased simply defending herself and moved in for the kill. Her punches and kicks became a blur, and panic started to rise in Zaitan's throat. Dodge, parry, block, strike. A left hook made the world turn gray for a moment, and then she was clutching his throat. No, wait. She was standing nearly 2 meters away from him. Her arm was extended, her fingers curled, miming the gesture of crushing his windpipe, and yet he felt it. Then he was lifted up in the air. Zaitan kicked and squirmed, reached up to claw invisible incorporeal fingers from his throat as the woman spoke in a low, chilling tone.
I have a message from the pikes. Don't ever put family in the middle of this again.
She hurled him with such force into his throne that it toppled over. Zaitan lay on the floor, gasping, and then finally the pressure around his throat disappeared. He got to his feet. Not only were the envoy and yellow tattoo nowhere to be seen, but neither was Tezca Krim. Fury erased fear. Fury and embarrassment. Massaging his throat, he said, coughing,
Stop them! Guards! Guards!
He could hear more blaster fire as the guards stationed outside doubtless tried to halt the escaping trio. Surely the two rescuers would be tired from the fight against so many in the throne room. He heard a strange noise, and rising, caught a glimpse of a blur of light off which his guard's blaster bolt seemed to be ricocheting back at them. A lightsaber? He charged out in time to see the envoy gripping Tezka's arm and rushing her up the ramp of a waiting ship. The blaster bolt struck the ramp mere centimeters from their running feet, and they disappeared inside. The guards turned all their focus onto Yellow Tattoo. He responded by grabbing a guard and thrusting the unfortunate falling in front of him, using him as a shield. Then the stranger hurled the massive body at the other guards and Zaitan, who were closing in on him. As the two guards stumbled, knocked off balance, the stranger sprinted for the ship. It was already lifting off, and the stranger was forced to leap to catch a hold of the retracting ramp. Zaitan seized a blaster from one of the fallen guards and took aim. Blaster bolts whizzed past the intruder, who somehow managed to clamber up the ramp to the safety of the ship in the nick of time. The last Zaitan saw of him, as the ramp closed and the ship took off, was a cocky wave. After the excitement of the narrow escape came a joyous and tear-filled reunion. Ventress could hear small voices shouting,
"Mommy! Mommy!"
and the soft murmured sobs as Tezka doubtless hugged her children tight.
"I love happy endings,"
Voss, who was seated behind her, said. She could tell he was smiling by the warmth in his voice.
"And you, Asajj Ventress, were fantastic back there with Zaitan. That guy was upset."
Normally, after a successful mission, Ventress eased comfortably into conversation with Voss. But this time, something felt different. There was tension between them now, and she was at a loss. As she had told Voss at the outset, she didn't mix business with pleasure. While it was true that her life was mostly business, pleasure did happen occasionally, but never anything that lasted beyond the single encounter, and never, ever with someone she worked with and respected. Ventress had no idea how to process the utterly alien emotions his hand on hers had created. She was alone, and she was strong that way. There would be no mate, no children, such as Tezka now embraced tightly. So she simply did not reply. Voss tried again to strike up a conversation, but eventually fell silent. They stayed that way for the entire trip. When the Banshee settled down on Obadiah's landing platform, Voss told her to go in without him. He would stay behind, he said, and prep the ship for their departure while she got their credits. The younglings begged him to come with them, but he just smiled and hugged them goodbye. That wasn't like the Quinlan Voss whom Ventress had come to know. Something was definitely amiss. She awkwardly accepted Marg Krim's thanks, and much less awkwardly, the extremely large pile of credits he gave her.
"We'll need to refuel shortly," he told her when she returned. "And I could use a drink after all that running around in a hot place."
He sounded like his old self, and he grinned, but the humor didn't reach his eyes. So that was how he was going to play it. Fine with her.
"Catch,"
she said, and tossed a bag containing half the credits his way. He deftly obeyed, then frowned.
"This is too much."
Mark Krim was pleased. In his excitement, he doubled our payment.
"Great," Voss said. "More to spend at the bar. Shall we get going?"
His enthusiasm sounded forced. Ventress frowned, but didn't push. She never liked it when someone hounded her, so she extended the same courtesy to Voss. Silently, she laid in the coordinates for a nearby planet. They had just left atmosphere when about a dozen ships came out of hyperspace. Ventress's eyes widened. The vessels were a collection of fighters and interceptor-class frigates, all bearing the stark, ugly symbol of a spiked sun with a circle in the center like an all-seeing eye.
"Black sun."
"No,"
said Voss, his voice a broken moan.
"No!"
Ventress saw in her mind's eye the children hugging Voss, felt for just a moment Lolly's soft little hands wrapped around her neck and shoulders as she ran. Then, because there was nothing else she could do, Ventress flipped the controls and the Banshee went into hyperspace. They headed for the bar first. Voss ordered in a flat voice, knocked back a shot, and asked for another. Ventress sipped her own drink in silence. While she said nothing, he knew she was watching him. He kept his face expressionless, which cost him, and behind the mask he suffered.
Had Black Sun followed?
No. They knew where the Krim family lived. They'd abducted Tezka, Lolly, and Vram easily enough. They had simply come to finish the job. Voss knew in his heart what would happen. Black Sun would execute them and leave Marg Krim to behold their bloody bodies while at the same time trying to fight for his own life. His fist hurt. Blinking, he looked down to see he'd slammed it down on the bar. Slowly, he raised his head. Everyone was staring at them. Suddenly, he couldn't stand being in the crowd of people. He downed another shot. The burn of the liquor almost painful as it trickled its way to his stomach. Tossed some credits on the bar and turned to Ventress.
Let's walk, he said.
She raised an eyebrow, but accompanied him. Dawn was breaking on this world, and the streets were largely deserted. In the forgiving light of the first rays of the sun, everything looked new. Even the things that were battered, broken, and dirty. But Vram and Lolly wouldn't see another sunrise. Impulsively, he grabbed the small pouch that he kept in his shirt. Tugging it out, he thrust it at Ventress.
Here, you earned this.
Ventress scrutinized him, not taking the money.
Don't bail on me now, Voss,
she said quietly.
We're just starting to make a good team.
But we aren't a team,
he said. He hadn't known what he intended to say, but the words spilled out of him in a rush, as if they had been damned too long and were eager for freedom.
For a team to work, there's got to be trust. And I haven't been truthful with you about who I am.
He took a deep breath.
Asajj, I'm a Jedi.